It is no trouble for me to write this same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. You may be thinking, we're going to talk about joy again, how many weeks in a row, and that maybe that was something of what Paul was trying to make clear to the Philippians, that he was going to tell them to rejoice in the Lord again. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I'm telling you this again, I don't know how many times it is, but rejoice in the Lord. He said, it's no problem for me to say it to you again. It needs to be repeated. And he goes on to say, not only is it something that ought to be repeated, he said, it is a safeguard for you. It'll keep you safe. It'll put you where you need to be. It'll protect you if you will rejoice in the Lord. Here's the bottom line of what Paul is saying to the Philippians, to the church in Philippi, and what the Lord is saying to you and I in this verse this morning. Your ability to rejoice in the Lord is an indicator of your well-being. He said, rejoice in the Lord. It's a good thing for me to repeat, and it's a safeguard for you. It'll be good for your well-being. Your ability to rejoice in the Lord is an absolute indicator of your well-being. We all want things to be and go well, right? Amen? Okay, well that's an understatement. We all want things to be well. We want them to go well. We particularly want them to go well spiritually. But we want to see things be well and go well in our homes, in our marriages, and with our children. We want to see things go well. We like to see things go well in our church. We like to see things go well in our nation. Paul is telling us that your ability to rejoice in the Lord is an indicator of your spiritual well-being. You see, joy is one of the most vital gauges, if you will, on the dashboard of your Christian life. As you go through this life in Jesus Christ, joy is an indicator on the dashboard. And when that needle dips, when it gets down into the red, when you start to lose or have lost your joy, you should take note like you would if any needle on your dashboard got down in the red. Whoa, better pay attention. Something's missing here. Something's going on here. There's something that needs to be corrected. When your joy dips down, you need to take note. In order to stay safe, you need to pay attention to your joy. How does that work? Well, let me explain it to you this way. Coal miners, they know that they have a dangerous job. Obviously, they're digging way down into the ground. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. But they also know that a lot of dangerous gases gather down in these tunnels, and they're silent, and you can't hear them, and they're invisible, and you can't see them. But it's very dangerous to them. Carbon monoxide will asphyxiate them. Methane is very explosive and it'll blow up. There have been hundreds and thousands of deaths of methane explosions in coal miners. But early on in coal mining, they determined a very suitable, a very workable, a good and low-tech way of handling this problem. They would take canaries down into the coal mines with them. They put them in cages and then hang them in the coal mines in periodic places. The thing about these canaries, the reason that they would take them, is the metabolism of these little yellow birds, call them Tweety if you want, it's fine. All right, the metabolism of these little yellow birds is very sensitive to air quality. As long as the air quality is good, they'll chirp and they'll sing and they'll prance around and they'll swing on their little swing and do what they do. But you let some of these dangerous gases begin to get in too high of a concentration, which is a lower limit than it is for human beings, these birds would stop singing and then they'd wobble on their perch and eventually fall to the floor of the cave. It's a good indicator of something that could be harmful. Christian joy is like that singing little yellow bird. It's exactly like that. One of the first effects of sin in your life, one of the first effects of bad doctrine in your life is that we lose our joy in Jesus Christ. You start losing your joy, you know there's a problem. When you start losing your joy of what it is to walk in Christ, when your heart stops singing, that's a warning sign to take a look at your life, your walk. That's a warning sign to take a look at what is exactly it is that I believe. What is my doctrine? So joy is a spiritual indicator. Joy is a spiritual condition. See, joylessness is a spiritual problem. We tend to think that it's a financial problem. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no joy. No. Joylessness is not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's not an emotional problem. like some might diagnose it to be. It's not a political problem. It's not a relational problem. All right? It is a spiritual problem. And when your joy is gone, when it's missing, and when it's too low, it is because, well, you've lost something, right? There's something that ought to be in my life that isn't in my life, and I'm missing it, and I'm doing without it, so I've got no joy. But it's not money. You didn't lose your joy because you lost the money. You didn't lose your joy because you lost the game. You didn't lose your joy because you lost control. You didn't lose the joy because you lost the vote. You didn't lose your joy because you lost the struggle for how you wish things would be. Joy is a spiritual indicator, is a spiritual situation. We lose our joy when we lose our understanding of God. We lose our joy when we lose our closeness to God. We lose joy when we lose our purpose of, or lose sight of our purpose in God. Lose our joy when we lose our proper spiritual condition in Jesus Christ. To that subject, I want to read to you the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1, and this will be familiar to many of you. Jesus is speaking, and as John records it, it says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener," Jesus says. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus says, "I have told you this. I've told you all this. The reason I'm saying all this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." When I feel joyless, when my life has become joyless, Jesus says, it is because I have failed to remain in Him. I have failed to abide in Him. Here's the good news about all that, though. Now we know, well, okay, I'm having an absence of joy in my life. What's causing that? Here's what's missing. It's Jesus Christ. I'm either misunderstanding Him. I'm not sticking with Him. I've lost sight of what my purpose is in Him. The good news is, now I know what I'm missing. And even better news is, He's always available. He's always right there. I don't have to worry about Him being accessible. He is accessible. And He's always capable. He's able to do whatever it is that needs to be done in my life. He is the source of the pure joy that I was designed to want, and He is the source of the pure joy that all I need to do is turn to. It's Him and Him alone. Jesus talked a lot about bearing fruit and what it takes to bear fruit. Here's what fruit is, ladies and gentlemen. Results. We all want to see good results out of life. Amen? Y'all with me on this? We want to see good results in and for our children. We want to see good results in our church. We want to see good results in a lot of things. We just want to see results. We want to see that sort of thing come to our life. The good things that we long for, that we would like to see happen, the results we'd like to reap, that is the fruit that Jesus speaks about. And we all want to have a results-filled, fruitful life. And when we don't experience the flow of good results, the flow of good results that we desperately want and that God designed us to want, when we miss out on the sweet taste of the blessings that are available to us, all right, what we're missing is fruit. What we're missing is results. And when we're not bearing fruit, when we're not getting results, we tend to lose our joy. We tend to become joyless. Jesus says, the only way you'll get results, the only way you'll bear true fruit, the only way to have a complete and full joy is to remain in Him. Remain in Him. He says, obey my commands. Obey His commands. Stay connected to Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's what it is to live in and for His glory alone. That's what it is to remain in Him. So let's start off for just a few minutes this morning with the discipline of remaining in Him, with the discipline of obeying one of His commands, and that is simply to be thankful. Let's give thanks to the Lord. We read Psalm 150, and it's an awesome passage. In verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do me a favor, everybody. Y'all awake, all right? Take a deep breath. Just do that one time. You got breath, ain't you? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, you take about 23,000 of those breaths every day. Have you ever taken time to just thank God for one of them? We tend to thank God for the things that take our breath away. But God gave you breath this morning. Oh, we ought to thank Him for it. You think about the physiological and anatomical things that have to be in tune just right for that to even work? Praise the Lord for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Not just when it feel like it, but be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's a true story about a woman who went to church every Sunday and she always prayed the same simple, short prayer. Every time. Every Sunday, same prayer. Every time. Five words. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Every time she went to church, she'd say that same prayer when it came her time out loud in front of everyone. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. The only prayer she ever prayed, she prayed it every single time. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Some of the kids in the church began to, you know, sort of laugh and make fun of her a little bit because, you know, it was sort of used to everybody getting quite verbose and the unto these and the bestowed upons and oh thou, you know what I'm saying. And every time she just prayed that same simple, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. So somebody went up to her and asked her, why do you pray that same prayer every time? I'm just curious. She said, I'm just combining the only two prayers I know. See, we live in a rough neighborhood, and sometimes at night the bullets are flying and the sirens are screaming, and I have to get down on the floor with my little girl and hope we make it. And I pray that prayer when that happens, oh Lord. But when we wake up in the morning and everybody's all right, I say, thank you, Jesus. When I go to put her on the bus and I don't know what's going to happen to her today, I say, oh Lord. But at 3 o'clock when she makes it home safe, I pray, thank you, Jesus. So all I'm doing, she said, was combining the two prayers that I know. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. What are you thankful for this morning? Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Is that what rules in your heart? Because it can be. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. A fellow by the name of Nick Buich in New Zealand was born with a very rare condition called a tetra amelia, I think is what they referred to it as. It's a genetic disorder. No arms, no legs. He's got a couple of small feet attached to the bottom of his torso. You can imagine what life was like growing up as a kid. Going to school, neighborhood. The physical struggles, the emotional struggles because of this condition. Today, Nick Buich describes his own life as ridiculously good. Let me quote to you from some of his writing. When I'm asked how I can claim a ridiculously good life when I have no arms or legs, People assume I'm suffering from what I lack. See, we think we're lacking joy because something's missing. Remember that. They inspect my body and wonder how I could possibly give my life to God who allowed me to be born without limbs. Others have attempted to soothe me by saying that God has all the answers and then when I'm in heaven I will find out His intentions. Instead, I choose to live by what the Bible says. Imagine that. That's good advice. Which is, God is the answer today. His words. Today, tomorrow, and always. When people read about my life or witness me living it, they're prone to congratulate me for being victorious over my disabilities. I tell them that my victory came in surrender. It comes every day when I acknowledge that I can't do this on my own. So I say to God, I give it to you. Once I yielded, the Lord took my pain and turned it into something good. He gave my life meaning when no one and nothing else could provide it. And if God can take someone like me, someone without arms and legs, and use me as His hands and feet, He can use anybody. It's not about the ability. The only thing God needs from you is a willing heart. You look at Nick Vujicic and we look at our own lives and we say, I'd have joy if this thing wasn't missing. I'd have joy if I could replace what is not here. Okay, he doesn't have any arms and he doesn't have any legs, but he's got joy. See, what's missing is not that thing. What's missing is not that person. What's missing is not that job. What's missing is not that condition. What's missing is the Almighty God. And my understanding and my walk with and my purpose in Him, once I got that, they ain't nothing but joy. Nick Vujicic, by the way, got married a few years ago. Got two healthy sons. I just think that's an awesome testimony. Oh, and by the way, he keeps a pair of socks and shoes in his closet because he believes in miracles. The discipline that we need to practice to increase our joy, to abide in Him, to be filled with and controlled by the joy of our salvation, the discipline is thankfulness. Being grateful for what God has done for you, what He's done in you, and what He's done through you. We start exercising that discipline. You know what the results will be? You know what the fruit will be? Joy. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank You. Like we've said so many times, we praise You because You are the source of all the goodness and the answer to all the evil. You have conquered it all. You have defeated sin and death. And we praise You. We praise You for forgiving us, for accepting us, and for providing us with so, so much. Our prayer this morning, Lord, and my prayer for each and every person, each and every marriage, each and every home, each and every family, my prayer for this church and for this community, my prayer for this nation as a whole, Lord, is that You would help us to remain aware of where our joy lies, what the condition of it is, where the needle points, and to understand where we need to go to refill, and that is You and You alone. My prayer is, Lord, that we would embrace the discipline of being thankful. Because, first of all, You deserve it. You deserve our thanks. You deserve our praise. You deserve our gratitude. But as You've promised, if we abide in You, then that manner, that our joy will be full and complete. We believe and we claim the promise this morning that that is Your will for us as Your children. And we thank You in advance for what's to come from it. Finally, Lord, if there's anyone, any soul here today who is experiencing a lack of joy because they don't have You, they don't have You in their heart, they don't have You in their life because they have not come to You and trusted in You and You alone for the forgiveness of their sins, I pray that they would do that today. I pray that they would come and receive the free gift that You offer them that is eternal salvation so that they might have joy. And it would be complete. May they do it so that they can praise You with every breath that they have. We love You, Lord, and we thank You as always in advance. for what is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.